Today's sermon is based on Acts chapter 27, and it's a really interesting story of Acts 27, which is really about Paul and his journey from Caesarea, where he spoke to King Agrippa, towards Rome. He doesn't actually make it to Rome in chapter 27. That's in the next chapter. The chapter ends in Malta, and I'll show you a map in a little bit. but the journey is towards Rome, and that is the final destination that he's heading towards. I was going to use some Lego pictures for today's sermon, but the brick testament that I normally draw from doesn't cover this part of Acts. So, as an alternative, I was thinking about using Benjamin's Destiny's Bounty, which is about this big of a Lego ship. But what I would have to do is I would have to take Destiny's Bounty and throw it into the water, into the bath with the shower going on, and then crashing it into land. I'm not sure Benjamin would have appreciated me doing that. So I decided not to go with Destiny's Bounty. I hope you're okay with that today. But Acts 27 is a great story to tell, and it's a fairly long passage. So I'm not going to read the entirety. I'm going to read snippets from it. But I do want us actually join in. Everybody to join in. Ooh. Everybody to join in the telling of this story of Acts chapter 7. Before I go into that, I just want to show a very quick map of the journey that we're talking about here. And this is a map of the journey, and you see on the far right there, on the far right bottom, is Caesarea, okay? And that is basically where Paul starts in Acts chapter 27, on the far right bottom, where Caesarea, and he's trying to make it to Rome. And you see the boot on the upper left-hand corner, that's Italy, of course, and he's trying to make it to Rome. And the journey that they're trying to make by boat is one that they're trying to cover close to the land as possible, because during this time it's actually quite treacherous waters, okay? Quite treacherous waters, and so they're moving along the coast, and they're trying to stay along the coast, okay? And the first few verses of this passage in Acts 27 is basically of Paul journeying along the coast up north to Sidon, and then up across above Cyprus and to Myra, right? And he ends up in Myra, and he's on a boat, right? And he's on a boat with lots of other soldiers, okay? Lots of other prisoners, okay? As well as a centurion, that is the leader of a troop of about 100 soldiers. Okay, so there's lots of people on this boat. There's prisoners, there's soldiers, and there's sailors, right? So all these different people are on this boat. And so I'm going to stop the map for a second. And I want everybody to be on this boat, okay? So everybody in each of your homes, you are supposed to be on the boat, okay? So we're all on the boat, okay? So everybody move with me, okay? As we're moving on the boat, okay? Okay, everybody's moving. Okay, Betty, you're not moving. Okay, move, sway with the boat, okay? We're all on this boat together, right? We're all on this boat together. And then Paul is in Myra, that place that I showed on the map, and he's trying to just go around the corner. The boat is supposed to go around the corner, but it doesn't happen. Okay, oopsies, sorry. He's trying to turn the corner, and I'm going to show, maybe I'll just leave the map on here. He's trying to turn the corner of his boat journey, and he's trying to get to this place. If you can see right to the left of Myra, there's this Cnidus, C-N-I-D-U-S, right? He's trying to get there, But the boat doesn't get there. And why doesn't it get there? Because a big wind blows the boat and it redirects the boat south to towards Crete. Now, everybody, the boat is now being blown by the wind. It's blown by the wind. Everybody, blown by the wind, okay? Now, you can if you have somebody next to you, you can blow at them, okay? Blown with the wind, okay? So it's being blown and tossed and turned, okay? This boat is being tossed and turned, and they don't know where they're headed, and they end up in this little spot on that island. Well, the Hoyan and his house is still on the boat. But the boat ends up at Fair Havens, at the south side of Crete, right? And here, you know, the boat docks, and they're safe, okay? And Fair Havens is the safe kind of a harbor at this point. So they stop at Fair Havens. And Paul, the prisoner, he turns to the centurion named Julius, and he's like, you know, the leader of these soldiers. And he tells them, you know, maybe we shouldn't go any farther. I think we should not travel any farther because for him, for Paul, it's the Day of Atonement. It's just after the Day of Atonement. What does that mean? That means it's just after winter time or just as winter is beginning. And so as winter is beginning, this is when the waters are even more rocky, right? So the waters are even more rocky during this time of winter. So, but Paul, of course, is not a skilled sailor. He's not a person of power like the centurion. He's only a prisoner. And needless to say, the centurion ignores Paul. And so they continue on, and they're trying to make it just up the island to Phoenix. Okay, just you see on the left of Fair Havens, there's Phoenix, right? And so they're trying to just make it just along the coast to Phoenix, and then they're gonna stay there for a little bit. And so they're trying to journey, and as they journey, what happens? But a hurricane-like wind tosses the boat. Okay, and it's tossing the boat and is moving everybody around and is tossing everyone in the boat. And what does Paul say? In verse 21, he says, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss." And I think, I'm thinking of this story, and I think that for Paul, when he says this, I think he actually sounds quite cheeky, right? He sounds a little bit like a smart aleck, right? Because he's saying, you should have listened to me. You didn't listen to me before. And now look at what's happening. We're being tossed around in this storm, right? And we're being thrown around in the sea. You know, so for Paul, he says, you really should have listened to me. But actually what Paul continues to say is that he says that he was visited by an angel. And an angel spoke to him and promised that he would make it to Rome and meet Caesar. And that the ship itself would be destroyed, but all the people on the boat would survive. Nevertheless, the centurion, the soldiers, the sailors, they don't listen to him, right? And the boat continues to be tossed in the storm for 2 weeks total, right? And everybody's being tossed in the storm for 2 weeks. Everybody on the boat is being tossed together. And eventually, after 14 days, they're close to this little island of Malta, where they learn later on it's Malta, on the far left-hand corner, right? This is not where they're planning to go, but this is where they end up, in Malta. And I think, and as they're coming near land, and I'm going to stop the video here, as they're coming up to the land, they know that they're coming quite close to land. And the sailors, they see, they can measure out and they see the land. But what do the sailors do? Okay? What do the sailors do? You know, the sailors, they want to save themselves. They don't care about the others on the ship. And so they actually want to take the little boat that ferries people back and forth from the ship to the land, and they want to take it for themselves and just abandon everybody else, right? But of course, Paul foils their plans. Paul notices what's happening, and he tells the centurion, you can't let the sailors leave, because if you let the sailors leave, who's going to run the boat, right? The boat's just going to crash, and we're all going to die, right? And so he foils their plans. The centurion tells the soldiers to cut the little boat away, and nobody is escaping this ship. We're all on the boat together, right? We're all on the boat together. Everybody on the boat together? Everybody's on the boat together, right? We're all on the boat together, and we're being tossed and tossed. And you can splash water on the person next to you if you have some. You know, you're being tossed in the boat, right? But what happens? You know, so Paul is, and my kids I see are still being tossed in the boat. But everybody is tossed together. For 14 days, they're in this, they're being tossed in the storm. And in verse 33 of our passage, Paul, after he tells the sailors, you know, after he foils the plans of the sailors, he says, "Today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense without food and having taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength. For not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you." And afterwards, he took bread, he broke it, he ate it, he broke it, he gave thanks for it to God, and he ate it, and all the other people of the ship began to eat. And I think this is actually quite interesting, because for 14 days, they were battered by the storm, right? They were so battered by a storm, and I was watching you guys, right? You know, you're being battered by a storm, and some of you are just like, you know what? I don't want to be battered anymore. I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to move. You know, so, you know, but others are still being battered, right? and you know, this whole thing for 14 days, everybody's on this boat together, and they're being thrown around in the storm. And some people want to abandon others. Actually, perhaps the most critical, you know, people for the ship, the sailors, are wanting to abandon others, right? But Paul, he doesn't want to abandon others. And he wants to encourage others, actually. It's quite interesting because in the beginning, Paul seems like he's a bit of a cheeky character, right? But by this time, after 14 days, he's one that's actually showing that he cares for the people on the boat. And instead of himself wanting to abandon the boat, instead of letting others do the same, he wants to encourage them, and he gives thanks to God, and he shares food and nourishment. And you can imagine, you know, 14 days when you're so caught up by the conditions of the boat, you're so caught up and trying to manage the boat, you're so worried about the things of the boat that you just don't have time. You don't have the energy to eat because you're so exhausted by the things around you. And, you know, the story ends, ultimately they kind of crash into the reefs of just before Malta, and the centurion makes sure that, you know, the soldiers don't kill any of the prisoners, because they want to kill the prisoners instead of letting them go free. But everybody goes safely, either swims or floats on pieces of ship to shore. And at the end, in the very last verse of this passage, it reminds us that all of them made it safely to land. Now, I think this whole story is really interesting for many reasons, because all of the people on the boat are literally on the same boat, right? And I think that like these days, we too are a people that are on the same boat. You know, I think, actually, a lot of the things in our lives these days resemble this story, that we are all on the same boat. I think one of the things that the pandemic has reminded us is that we are all alike. We are all in the same boat. We are in the, under the same conditions, okay? I mean, some people are on the front lines. Some people are working, you know, maybe the sailors, you know, but are on the front line and have certain responsibilities that are even graver and greater than others. And then there's people like Paul who's, you know, he's a teacher. He doesn't know anything about boating, but he's giving advice. I'm not sure that's a good thing or not, but, you know, he's a teacher that's giving advice. And then you have a centurion who has a task, right? And he has a task to manage the soldiers, but also to oversee these prisoners in this boat. And the question I think that I think is overriding in this whole passage for me as I consider it is, how do we respond to the storm? You know, how do we respond to the storm? Because different people respond in different ways. And you can see, I think, you know, I think the first very, very brief observation I want to make is that I think through this story, you can see the different characters expressed in the midst of the storm. You have the sailors, okay, who are working the boat because they're being told to do so, right? I mean, that is their job, right? But towards the end of this boat journey, at the peak of this boat journey, they are showing that their characters are actually, at the end, they're fed up. And they want to give up, right? And they, in some ways, are cowards in a sense, right? Because they want to abandon everybody else and save themselves, okay? And that, in some ways, you know, when at the peak of this this storm, this is the reaction of the sailors. But then you also have the character of the centurion, and I think the centurion is a great guy, and you know, it's basically this whole chapter 27 is where we hear about the centurion, and we don't hear about him before or after chapter 27. The centurion, his name is Julius. You know, as a centurion, he is the leader over a century, 100 soldiers. Okay, that's the idea behind it. So he's a leader of these soldiers, and as a leader, he is one that's perhaps experienced in the military, in as a soldier, but that means that he is also one who's courageous, one who has actually quite a lot of wisdom, and he's trying to be very judicious about his decisions that he's making in terms of the prisoners and so forth. But eventually, he's also one who trusts in Paul. But I think Paul, the character of Paul is another character that I think is worth considering. Because for Paul, of course, you know, what skills does he have? You know, he's a prisoner. He's a teacher, right? He is not a nautical expert, right? Maybe he's been on a few boat journeys, but he's not really that skilled in things in terms of boating or anything like that. His main characteristic that we see coming through is that he is faithful to God. He trusts in God. And in fact, he trusts in the message that God has for him and for the people. And he remains faithful in this. And actually, I think these characteristics of these three groups of individuals also points to where their source of strength is. And that's the second very brief observation I wanted to make. That the source of strength is demonstrated through their characters. The sailors, their source of strength is actually in themselves, right? They are thinking, well, we're sailors and we're able to do these things, but you know what? The only person who can save my life is myself, right? And so they want to jump ship, well, quite literally, right? they want to abandon ship and save themselves. And they find that they can only trust in themselves. The centurion, interestingly enough, I think actually his source of strength is also in his self. Okay? Because I think the centurion is one of these men that's a very experienced, very seasoned individual, and maybe a very more of a senior individual, okay, that has experience and he knows what is good and what is wrong. And he is a very pragmatic person. But he's also very intuitive, and he knows he can read and who he could trust and so forth. But I think ultimately he is still trusting in himself. He is trusting in his own experience and his own knowledge of things and his own way of engaging things. But of course, for Paul, his source of strength is in God. He has heard a message from God. He has a mission from God, and he is determined that this message from God is what he finds strength in. This promise from God is what he finds strength in and what he trusts himself in. But I think that when we consider, and I think, you know, beyond the source of strength and the character of these individuals, I think when we consider the theme of this year, this theme around mission, I think the climax of this story is found on that 14th day, that those 2 weeks, after those 2 weeks. 14 days when sailors, soldiers, and prisoners are tossed in the storm. And sailors try to escape, but Paul, of course, foils their plans. And if I were a soldier, if I were a sailor, I would be pretty mad at Paul, you know? Don't you think? You know, if you were a sailor and you were about to, like, escape, and then this prisoner, okay, this criminal calls you out and finds out that you're trying to escape, and then foils your plan, and then instructs the centurion to stop this and gets rid of your escape pod, you know, your escape boat, you know, I would be pretty mad at Paul. But what happens immediately after this, right? That's immediately after this episode is that Paul, he gets it. He understands that he doesn't want to be on the boat either. And it's not that he wants to get the sailors in trouble. He actually cares for the entire ship. And he has bread. He eats, in other words, right? Quite literally, he breaks bread and thanks God, and he has bread. And he shares it with them. He encourages them to eat with him. And this is actually quite an interesting turn, because what he's doing is he's showing how much he cares for them and how much he wants to calm their nerves, and he wants to nourish them physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Ultimately, he wants to minister to them. And I think for many of us, you know, when lockdown happened, you know, that was back in March, right? You know, we're over 6 months, you know, that or about 6 months now that we've been on lockdown. We don't want to be on this boat, right? We want the lockdown to end, right? We want to be able to meet face to face with people. We want to be able to share a meal with our friends and so forth, right? And we don't want to be on this boat in the midst of the storm of the pandemic. And I know that many of us are worried about the pandemic in different ways. You know, I worry about our children, you know, as they go back to school, have gone back to school. I worry about my parents, who are quite elderly, in LA, where the pandemic is perhaps less controlled than in the UK. But I've also been concerned in recent days of my family in LA, because, well, of course, a few months ago there were riots in LA, where you know, my my family could knew about, they could smell, literally smell the riots from their homes, right? They could not go out because of curfew. And now there are fires in LA. My brother showed me a picture from his office window where he saw fires in the hills of the San Gabriel Valley mountains. You know, and just the other day, there was an earthquake in LA. You know, so there's all these different things, you know, that are quite worrisome, right? And you think, you know, we're not done with 2020, right? You know, there's so much more that can happen. But in the midst of all these things, in the midst of the storm, I think we can be encouraged on one hand by Paul in his faith and his trust in God. Okay, but I think it's more than just that, because I think, you know, for many of us, first of all, I suspect that for many of us, we don't have the same assurance of an angel visiting us and telling us this message of why we're in this storm, right? Or what what's going to happen beyond this storm. But I think that for Paul, because of his faith and trust in God, he also has an ultimate hope that God cares for lives and livelihoods. And so for him, his mission is beyond this message of him going to see Caesar. His mission is also about the lives and the livelihoods of those around him. That those around him also need the same hope, the same knowledge and faith in God. And it is this hope that Paul is trying to share with the other people on the boat, the sailors and so forth. And I think that, this story, I think, is quite a... kind of interesting story overall, but I think the key message is a very simple message, that in the ability, in the knowledge that Paul has in who God is, that his character is one that trusts in God, he is faithful to God, he is empowered by God, but also that trust and faith in God also translates to a sharing of the hope of that God to others. And I think that in the midst of things, I think, you know, as for myself as a university has started up, and you know, there's like so many different things that are happening and so many mixed messages about what we should or should not do, what we can and cannot do in terms of like public health and, you know, health and safety matters around the university. I think for the encouragement we could get from Paul is to step back from the storm and to give thanks to God and to ask God to nourish and encourage one another and to help us to give that same encouragement and nourishment, especially to those whose hope is less secure. So I'm going to stop there and close this time in prayer. Father, we give thanks to you, for you are a God who we can entrust ourselves in. And we give thanks to you for the story, which is of Paul and the ship that journeys towards Rome, but it doesn't quite get that far, but just crash lands into Malta. But Father, we thank you for the encouragement that we see in Paul, in his life, and in how he shares of the hope that is in you with his fellow shipmates. So we thank you for this the story, but more so we ask that you give us strength, give us courage. I know for myself, these past days, these past weeks have been quite claustrophobic, quite I've felt the heaviness of so many responsibilities and so many things to do, and so many things to be concerned about, and the difficulty that makes to living life and making decisions and just going about day-to-day tasks. Father, I ask for your strength. I ask for your encouragement. I ask that your spirit may speak very closely to those in our midst who feel exhausted in these days. And that as your word says that your spirit is the comforter, great comforter, we ask that your spirit may bring comfort to each of us in the midst of the weight of the storm that is around us, and allow us to see the hope that is in you in all that we do. Give thanks. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.